free will, and divine will myths. There are an incredible number of potent and powerful myths about what free will is and what divine will is. The word myths here denotes untrue stories. In the classic sociological and ancestral sense, myth denotes stories of great potency that speak of the creator, the creation, and the plan for the ultimate reunion of the physical with the non-physical, the created with God. Many of the myths that we have about free will and divine will simply are not true. Let's begin with free will and demystify this. Free will suggests freedom. Freedom from what? Ponder this question deeply and thoroughly. Freedom from what? The hook that catches so many people to choose free will over divine will is that we, are seduced to see merely the superficial, the short term, the immediate, because this is all the ego sees. Not the long view, the holistic, the integrated, the big picture, the contextual, that which soul knows. And so, when ego is experiencing pain in any of its forms, it naturally seeks freedom from this. However, and this is the real clincher, because it is not yet completely realigned with soul, like a ship within a mothership, docking inside its sacred belly, it is universally assumed that what it wants freedom from is soul. This confusion has arisen from a simple principle. Ego, always, since the beginning of its creation, has operated from a limited vantage. It could not see the whole. And so, it misinterpreted its options. It chose over and over and over again free will simply because this is the only option it was fully aware of. Free will was its new toy, the key ingredient in the human ego experiment. Thus, transfixed by it, ego inherently assumed it to be the far-favored choice. Now, we recognize that ego develops patterns, and so when ego first chose free will over divine will, this choice immediately became familiar to it. We also now recognize that when something becomes familiar to ego, it chooses it over and over and over again. Essentially, divine will and ego's realignment with it, its docking in it, became a distant, forgotten opportunity. It vanished, all but a speck, from the awareness radar of ego's mind. And so ego was separate, though only from ego's vantage. From soul's vantage, ego and soul can never be separate. They are cut of the same cloth. They are inextricably one. And so it was solely in ego's perception that it separated itself. This is the illusion, the forgetfulness, the dream. Free will is what essentially lured, allured, seduced ego to forget its own will's realignment with the whole. Please be aware that this is not an invitation to bash free will. Rather, it is an invitation to recognize where we are, where we can be, and with this liberation in our consciousness and the motivation propeller inherent within it, to set ourselves on course for home. This principle in the realm of space, time, wheel of time is vital to comprehend. Everything is perceived from the vantage of the perceiver. No one can perceive more expansively than their current perceptual filters can allow. In other words, each and every human's expansiveness or contractedness of consciousness determines the size of their box. Until, of course, their ego allows them to stretch into its unknown territories, to cross the continuum from familiar through unfamiliar to newly familiar experiences and environments and opportunities. Until ego allows this, consciousness cannot expand. Another crucial aspect on the scale of humanity's survival or demise inherent in this principle is this. No one of a limited awareness can perceive anything of a more expansive awareness. Only as consciousness opens, as it bursts forth into newness, like drawing aside the curtains that have so long obscured the sun, Can it recognize reality in its true expansiveness? Until this occurs, lesser consciousness behaves, believes, and perceives as if all it knows is all there is. The root and the result of this is that ego cannot perceive soul simply because soul is more conscious than it. Soul is vaster than its reflection of itself. And like Narcissus, believing what it sees in its own reflection, it doubts or does not even notice the radiant, luminous presence of soul. Ego Commission 1 cannot recognize soul. It cannot greet it, it cannot know it, simply because its lens is focused too close. It can only comprehend what it allows itself to expand its exposure to. And so soul sits patiently, completely ready for ego to wake up. "Oh, when did you get here?" ego says to soul. Soul smiles. "I've been with you all the time."